Bible reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1-8. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of the flock out of the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when it shall be no longer be said, as the Lord lives who brought the people of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought out and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the land of the north and out of all the lands where he had driven them. Then they shall live in their own land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Mary, thank you very much indeed for bringing us our Bible reading. So we're continuing our sermon series going through this wonderful prophecy of Jeremiah. So let's pray, and let's pray that God the Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are not silent, but you are a God of revelation who speaks to us today. Lord, you know the many distractions, the many things that we're thinking about now. Lord, help us to lay them to the side, to focus on you and open our ears and our hearts to your word. Come amongst us now by your Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let me start off by giving a tiny little book review. I think I've probably mentioned this before, but one of the most interesting books I've read in the past few years is called this. It's called The Shepherd's Life, A Tale of the Lake District by James Rebanks. And it's a wonderful book that really opens your eyes, that really changes the way you think about things. And it's all based upon the life of sheep farmers in the Lake District. And he's not your average sheep farmer. He studied at Oxford, did an English degree, and then decided he wanted to go back to the land and work on his family farm, as many generations did before him. And it's a wonderfully evocative book. Here is a man deeply rooted in the landscape, deeply rooted in looking after these hard-work sheep on the fells of the Cumbrian Mountains. And many times you're just taken away in the pages of this book when the weather's really terrible. I don't know if you've been to the Lake District, but sometimes the weather's terrible in the summer, let alone in the middle of winter. And imagine what it's like trying to get these sheep down from the hillsides in the middle of winter to care for them and look for them. And when I think of the Good Shepherd, I think of James Rebank and his friends like him working the hills of Cumbria, caring for those sheep. But what a contrast we have compared to the bad shepherds that we're thinking about in this passage this morning. And let's remember what this whole book of Jeremiah is about. The whole people of God have gone seriously off the rails. They are worshipping false gods. They are breaking that covenant with God. I will be your God and you will be my people. They are living thoughtless, selfish and sinful lives. And so the time is up. God's judgment is going to come. And we're told at the very beginning of this book, the longest book in the Bible, what's going to happen in the rest of the book. They will be invaded by Babylon and carried off into exile. So we know exactly what is going to happen. And one of the real problems with Israel are the leaders. So there we are. There's prophets, priests, and kings. They're the ones who are corrupt. They're the ones who are shepherds, but they're leading the people astray. The priests have forgotten their calling. They're no longer encouraging Israel to follow the one true God. In fact, they're actually leading people astray to worship foreign pagan gods and to offer sacrifices to them instead. The prophets, they're giving their own words rather than the words of God. They're shouting from the rooftops, peace, peace, when it's anything but peace, and God is actually coming against them. They're telling people what they want to hear. They're tickling their ears with flattery. And the kings, instead of being the wonderful figure point, the center of worship, of loyalty, of faithfulness to God, they're actually leading people into disastrous alliances with other nations, and they're leading Israel astray. So that's why Jeremiah can say, verse 1 of our reading, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and have not attended to them." Now, we all know that the history of the church has been littered with bad sheep. Leaders, usually men, who have been greedy for wealth, authority, and control. These leaders who are actually false teachers, bad shepherds, not caring for the flock. Think of all those ministers living openly immoral lives, causing great scandal to the church. Those medieval popes with many children who bribed their way into the highest office. Hypocrites who say one thing and do another, and the world sees it. Those who ride roughshod over the Bible's clear teaching on things like the uniqueness of Christ, the true nature of marriage, gender, etc., etc. Greedy shepherds who steal, who siphon off the offerings and tithes of the faithful. So let's not be naive. There's always been bad shepherds in the history of the church. And it will always be so until Christ comes again and brings everything to account and brings about true lordship over his people. And the New Testament is full of teaching about watch out for the false teachers. Watch out for those shepherds who are wolves in sheep's clothing. So it's really the darkest of nights for Israel. But that's only part of the story. I don't know if you've ever looked sometimes through the storm clouds and you see the light breaking through. Occasionally there is light and hope, even in this dark prophecy of Jeremiah. Because God still cares about his people. Verse 1, my pasture. Verse 2, my people. Verse 2 again, my flock. God takes this personally. These people are deeply loved. He cares about what his people are going through. And when the bad shepherds have scattered, he is going to gather in. He's going to reverse what is going to happen. There will be new shepherds who will care for the sheep, who will no longer go missing and be terrified. Being fruitful and increase, well, that's the language of creation again. It's almost as if God's going to recreate his people, mold them together into a nation. He will bless them, protect them, guide them. Verse 3, then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I've driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. These are wonderful words for Israel, who knows what's going to happen. And we know that this restoration will take place. Think of those bleak years of exile in Babylon. Just think of stories of Daniel, the fiery furnace, the lion's den. But the Jews will one day be able to return home under Ezra, Nehemiah. They were scattered, but God is going to bring them home. And indeed, this restoration after exile, it will be just as great as the great rescue of Exodus. Just as great as when all God's people went through that wilderness wanderings into the promised land of Canaan. That's what those verses 7 and 8 are all about. Let me just read it to you again. Therefore, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when it shall no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. But, as the Lord lives, who brought out and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the land of the north and out of all the lands where he had driven them. You see, what he's going to do is going to be a great thing that rivals anything in Israel's history. He will bring his people home. Now that seems really unlikely, doesn't it? Israel has always been squeezed between these great superpowers, between Egypt in the south and Babylon in the north. Israel's always been squeezed between these great empires. But God is sovereign. God is in control. God is the one who's going to use Babylon for his purposes to bring them into exile. But God is sovereign. He's also going to change the hearts of the Babylonians to allow his people to come home. Because God is sovereign. God is the Lord over every nation and every people. And God is still sovereign today. He still cares for his people, who are no longer just a nation called Israel, but the worldwide global church. God still cares what his people are going through. Both Arab Christians and Messianic Jews suffering terribly at the moment in the West Bank and in Jerusalem. God cares about Christians being martyred in Egypt and Nigeria. God cares about churches being closed in China and leaders imprisoned. God cares about freedom of speech being curtailed in the West, even in our own country. God cares about his people. He cares then and he cares now. But even that truth is not the greatest hope in our reading today. God is going to raise up a righteous branch. And here in verses 5 and 6 is one of the great prophecies, if you like, of the Messiah in the Old Testament. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Here's a great prophecy that's completely fulfilled when Jesus comes. And remember all those genealogies at the beginning of the Gospels? They make it really clear that Jesus is coming from the royal line of David. That great prototype, if you like, of the Messiah. Israel's greatest king. Jesus is the son of David. Now, what do we learn about this Messiah? What do we call this great king who's going to come? Well, he's righteous. He's holy and pure. Not a hint of self-interest, not a hint of greed or immorality. Not like those terrible kings like Ahab and Manasseh in Israel's history. What Jesus says he will do, he will do. There's absolute integrity and honesty. Jesus will care about the poor and the destitute, the downtrodden and dispossessed. He cares about the sick and dying, the misfits that the world casts away. He's not going to get rich from the needs of others. He's actually going to care for the poor and weak. He cares for the orphan, the fatherless, and the widow. His priority is not with the key people, the strategic people, the influential, powerful people. No. King Jesus will reign wisely, doing what is just and right. He is someone that we can follow, someone for us to build our lives around. He will never fail us. He will never let us down, never go behind our backs and betray us. Jesus is going to rule wisely. His words are a solid rock for us to build our lives upon. This is not some sort of Twitter celebrity that we can think about their words. No, here's the wisdom of ages that has stood the test of time. This is what this prophecy is telling us. There's going to be God's king coming, and he will be wise, full of righteousness and truth. But it's also someone who will come to bring salvation and rescue. Even greater than the Exodus from Egypt. Salvation for eternity. For everyone in this world who believes in Jesus. This righteous branch, this wise king will come, not just to make us feel better about ourselves, not just to give us some sort of meaning in life. He will come to bring us to God himself. The history, if you like, of the Exodus was just a shadow that pointed to that true reality of Exodus and salvation on the cross. Because salvation in faith in Christ will make us righteous. Now, how do we understand this? How can Jesus be the righteous king? How does he make us righteous? Well, here's a verse we might want to think about from Romans. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So the very core of the gospel is this great transaction, this great swap. It's almost like we look at some accounts, and on Jesus' side, we see a perfect life, fully pure and holy and righteous. And when we trust in Jesus, that is then credited to our account. So when God looks at us, he sees us as righteous and pure as well. All the righteousness of Jesus is now given to us, and we're counted worthy to stand before God. Isn't that wonderful? We're not perfect. We're not pure, but Jesus is. So if ever we get to heaven and we stand before God and he asks us, why should you get into heaven? It's nothing we have done. Jesus has done it all. We plead his cause. We plead his name. And that's why the Lord, our righteousness, is actually a wonderful thing. Don't we yearn for a leader who is pure and perfect, who's not in it for self-interest, who's not in it for much influence and greed and power he can get? Don't we hunger and thirst for a leader like that, somebody we can follow, somebody whose life we can base ours around? In John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he spells out why he's good shepherd and why that is good for us. He's really having a dialogue and debate with the Pharisees, who are really just another example of bad shepherds in the history of Israel. They place such heavy burdens on people's backs. Rules and regulations, you must live like this, you must speak like this, dress like this, do that. And it was a crushing burden. But Jesus, the good shepherd, is so different. Take my yoke upon you. They hear his voice. They follow him. He will lead us into green pastures and leads us beside still waters. He is the bread of life. He's the living water. And Jesus is still personally calling men, women, and children to follow him, to listen to his voice, and to come home. And I wonder if there's anyone actually here today or even watching online, and you still need to listen to those words for yourself. That you still need to come to that place in your life of trusting completely in the Lord Jesus. That he is the good shepherd and he wants to take us home. It's easy to put it off until the time is right. But do it today. Trust in this Jesus, the good shepherd. We are preparing ourselves for a parish mission next year called Seeds of Faith. It's going to happen in September next year. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to invite our local community for people to come and to follow Jesus for themselves. I wonder if we still really believe in our hearts that Jesus is good news. That he's the most attractive and lovely person that we need to follow. Jesus also says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And maybe Jesus was thinking about the passage from Jeremiah when he was writing that. And Jesus knows that he will be that good shepherd, and he is just about to lay down his life for the sheep. That's what we want people around us to come to follow for themselves. Jesus, who lays down his life for us. That is the depth of his love for us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross and gave up everything. Who else loves us like that? You know, the past year has been extraordinarily difficult for so many people. So many people asking questions about their own mortality. What is life about? Why am I so afraid of dying? Is there a purpose to all this? Is there anyone really in control? People have been looking online at services, at prayers, at talks, reading things, trying to attempt to answer those questions. Well, let's be encouraged this morning. Let's be encouraged to reach out to people around us and to point them to this good shepherd, that righteous king prophesied about. He's the only one who will never disappoint us. He's the only one we can trust to rule wisely and do what is just. He is the only one who loved us so much he would give up his life. He will gather us in and he will take us home. May we point people to that Lord Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep. Shall we pray? Maybe there's somebody on your heart today that you would love for them to come to know the Lord Jesus for themselves, to come to place their trust in the Good Shepherd. Why don't you just mention in the quietness that person before God, that he would open their eyes, that they would come to follow Jesus for themselves. Lord God, we thank you that all the prophecies about the Messiah find their fulfillment and truth in Jesus. Thank you that he is that righteous branch. He is that wise king. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Lord, help us to trust in him. Help us as we try to share that good news with others around us, that many would come and bow the knee before Jesus and trust him as Lord. Lord, please work in us and through us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.